Welcome to From the Front Porch, a conversational podcast about books, small business, and life in the South. Hope is a fickle, dangerous thing. It steals your focus and aims it toward the possibilities instead of keeping it where it belongs, on the probabilities. Rebecca Yaros, Fourth Wing. I'm Annie Jones, owner of The Bookshelf, an independent bookstore in beautiful downtown Thomasville, Georgia. And this week, it's time for a little March Madness. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that this weekend is our spring reader retreat in Thomasville. Spots for the retreat have been sold out for months, but we're hosting a live podcast event this Saturday, March 23rd at 8:30 p.m., and we'd love for you to join us. Frequent podcast guest Hunter McClendon will be here, along with author, cookbook writer, and internet personality Bree McCoy. We'll be live at the Thomasville on Stage and Company Theater downtown. They already have our name on the marquee. It's very exciting. And we'll be discussing food in books and pop culture. Tickets are $30 and are available online. There's a link in the show notes, or you can visit bookshelfthomasville.com and tap or click events. I would love to see you there. Now, back to the show. For years, my husband Jordan has come on the podcast every March as part of our March Madness tradition. While the NCAA college basketball tournament unfolds, we debate the bookshelf's top 16 bestsellers of the previous year until Jordan selects and names one as the champion, often based solely on vibes. If this sounds a little chaotic, that's because it is. Hi, Jordan.
I'm chaotic. I'm here.
You're chaotic. You base things solely on vibes.
Well, also skill level and metrics and also some vibes.
He does have a notepad.
Yeah, I have a notepad. I have a composition notebook.
Yeah, he has a notebook full of notes. And yeah, he's thought about this.
Yeah.
He hasn't read any of the books, but he saw them.
I don't know. It's possible.
People love this episode. And the irony that I read hundreds of books a year. Well, not hundreds. I read 100-ish books a year. And you don't do that, but your episode is the most popular episode. That irony is not lost on me.
It's all about giving the people what they want. At the end of the day, people just want nonsense, right?
I think people just like men. I'm just kidding. You're very funny, and we're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so as is usual, Olivia seeded our teams, and I do just want to give a shout out to listener Betsy. So Maddie and her mom, Betsy, came to the bookshelf, I don't know, probably 2 weeks ago, and Betsy, that's Maddie's mom, was in the store, and she said, I have a bone to pick with Olivia. She said, these selections, or not really the selections, but the way they are seated, was a cause of concern and consternation for Betsy. And I told Betsy that we often on this podcast episode discuss how Olivia seeds these teams. So if this is your first time listening, well, God help you.
It's interesting.
But if this is your first time listening, basically, Olivia takes our 16 best-selling books of the previous year, and then she seeds them like a March Madness bracket. Now, this year, for the first time ever, we have an actual bracket. It's available. You can download it online. We've been selling them, which sounds ridiculous, except it's not, because we're donating all the proceeds to the Boys and Girls Club. So if you're like, why are they charging for this? It's really, we're collecting donations for the Boys and Girls Club. But if you bought March Madness merch, which we'll get to in a second, but if you bought merch, you may have received a bracket with your order. So I designed this bracket based on Olivia's selections and her seeding of the teams. There is a lot of thought that goes into this.
Yes.
Now, we're not made privy to Olivia's thoughts. We speculate about her choices here on the show.
Yeah, she's a committee of one.
Yeah.
There's a selection committee in March Madness in basketball. And a lot of the things that the committee does cause consternation and concern. And it wouldn't be March Madness if there weren't some controversy about different teams, who's in, who's out, who's on the bubble. And so, if some of you have consternation and concern when you look at this, Welcome to March Madness. That's part of it. You just hang on, strap in, because you're going to have more consternation by the time we get to the end of this episode. It always happens. It's dramatic.
It is dramatic. Okay, speaking of dramatics, now I don't have my notes in front of me. I'm trying to remember before we get started, but do you remember what happened last year?
Well, I think what happened is the book Eaters, I think,
yes,
ended up waltzing into
right.
the Final Four, and then they actually... there was some controversy. Some people thought it double dribbled, kind of like the University of Virginia did a few years ago against Auburn. But the University of Virginia went on and won, and that's what happened with the Bookeaters. The Bookeaters kind of cheated, got in, but they cut down the nets at the end, and not everybody liked that. And the biggest critic was you.
It was, but because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, sounds like you remember better than I do, it went up against, the Bookeaters went up against The Crane Wife.
I think that's right.
And The Crane Wife was one of my favorite books. It still is a book I love to hand sell. It's a book I think about often when I think about writing. I think about writing like mm-hmm. that. I love the writing in C.J. Hauser's The Crane Wife. Did you read The Bookeaters or The Crane Wife?
Well, I got about a third to a half of the way through Bookeaters.
Okay.
And lost interest. But you know what? You know what? It was already done. It's kind of like once the tournament's over, once the team wins, once the team gets to hang the banner, there can be speculation. There can be documentaries later about the Bookeaters. Well, was the Bookeaters really the best team? And you can get these old guys come in. No, we weren't the best team. We just had the most heart. You know, you have all these interviews. And of course they weren't the best team, but it doesn't matter because they won. On paper, they're the best team, even though there's debate.
Is what I'm hearing that you should read the books in advance of the tournament?
No, because it's about more than just reading.
Okay.
That's the only thing I know to defend myself. Probably yes. Probably yes. But
did you read The Crane Wife?
Not yet.
Okay. Okay, great.
There's still time yet.
Yeah. I stand by. I think you would actually like The Crane Wife. If Olivia listens to this episode, and I will say, I don't think the Bookshelf staff always listens to the podcast. And I'm on the record as saying that's fine because I wouldn't want to listen to me either. they already listen to me all the time.
There is one way that The Crane Wife could kind of become the champ, and that is, suppose I were to read The Crane Wife and we were to get some information that Bookeaters did something illegal during the season mm-hmm. and we could have that win vacated.
Well, if the Bookeaters was like plagiarized or something,
it played fair.
Yeah, we don't want to put that the stench of plagiarism on the Bookeaters.
It's like the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst thing ever. Okay, so Olivia has seeded these throughout. Yes. Today's conversation, we will speculate. I do like to try to get inside Olivia's brain and see.
It's a dangerous place to be, but I do too.
I think I understand a lot of how and why she seeded things the way that she did. But we have a list of 16 teams. You can follow along with the bracket that you've printed off, the bracket that you found online or that you received in your online order or that you picked up at the Bookshelf. I'm going to list the teams right now. And then we're going to go through play by play, game by game, and narrow this down until we have not the best-selling book of 2023. That's already been determined. But we're going to pick...
just the best.
The March Madness champion.
Yeah.
So these books were our top 16 of 2023. Here we go. Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, Tom Lake, Saturday Night at the Lakeside Supper Club, Hello Beautiful, Pineapple Street, Lessons in Chemistry, Nora Goes Off Script, Kinfolk, The Peach Seed, Demon Copperhead, The Covenant of Water, Happy Place, Same Time Next Summer, I Have Some Questions for You, and Faking Christmas. So these are all fiction titles. I'm just doing a quick scan. These were the top 16 best-selling fiction titles. That was not them listed in order from 1 to 16. That was listed in order of how they're about to be seated or how they were seated. So we're going to start in the top left bracket, and we're going to talk about Fourth Wing.
The Midwest.
Okay. Fourth Wing. Actually, you know what? I think Rebecca Yarris might be from Utah, so sure. Fourth Wing versus Iron Flame. Here's what's unusual. I'm going to let you riff and do your thing, but I will tell you that...
You don't don't think I prepare for that? You don't think this is carefully scripted?
I mean, I totally think you've prepared for this, but right. I do just want to let you know that Fourth Wing is the first book in a series.
Right.
Iron Flame is the follow-up, the sequel.
Right.
So it's the second book, I think, in what will ultimately be, I believe, a 5-book series by Rebecca Yarros. Yes. Do you remember me reading Fourth Wing?
I do, and there was some controversy.
Yeah. Yes, there was some controversy. Fourth Wing took up a lot of mental space and time in the bookshelf's life in 2023. It did. It was a book that became a TikTok sensation and became super popular, hit our bestseller list, the bestseller list across the country. It's a book about dragons.
It sprouted additional wings, so to speak, right?
It did. Yeah. And then Iron Flame was the sequel, which I did not read. Mm-hmm. I intended to read. And then there was, well, first of all, I did not intend to read it. But then I felt like I was going to be peer pressured into reading it by Keela and Kendall. But then I refrained because by the end of 2023, Olivia and I were over Fourth Wing and Iron Flame and the special editions and publishers not getting us books. This was the book, you'll recall, we had to refund, I think, 50 people.
Yep. But they had those really cool black pages.
Yeah, great. Know? Love it. We were this close to Keela spray painting our books. We were this close to be like, can we do this ourselves? Yeah. You know, scrappy.
Well, after all of that happened and it was so controversial. So one of the attorneys I work with, whose name is Annie as well. Oh. She stopped by my office one day and she was like, has your wife read The Fourth Wing? and I was like, oh, it duh. I had this, you know.
You had feelings
had
on my behalf.
PTSD,
yeah.
You know, over it. But she was really excited about it, so I didn't want to burst her bubble. She was like, I got my new one and it has black pages and it's so cool. I was like, yeah, that's cool.
Look, we want to let people like what they like. Yeah. And as a bookseller, I for sure want to let people like what they like. And for all of the pain and frustration that book and the publisher caused us, we sold a lot of copies.
Yeah.
And so I'm truly grateful for that.
Yeah.
Grateful for Fourth Wing.
Yep.
Grateful for people reading stuff, even though it might be outside my typical genre. My favorite description of this book, I believe, was sold to me by Jennifer. Fourth Wing was Top Gun with dragons. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I liked it. I mean, I really did. It was fun to read. It was one of those cultural things in the book world where it felt like everybody was reading it, kind of like The Hunger Games.
Or Harry Potter when everybody had
everybody reading it at once. It's, you know, it's like the Barbie Oppenheimer phenomenon or something. It was just like a cultural thing. And I like being a part of cultural moments. But typically when we do March Madness, a sequel is rarely... I mean, especially because these are adult books and there just aren't a lot of series that make the bookshelf's bestseller lists. This is an exception and a rarity. And so it's the book pitted against its sequel, which I think is not often something we see. Yeah.
And it's fair. You don't, you know, if someone's out there whining at Olivia, oh, I want a final where Fourth Wing and Iron Flame can be in there. No, that's not what happens. Olivia did this correctly. She basically said, you have to pick the better of those two at the beginning, and we're going to let one of those advance.
The good news is I don't think anybody's rooting for Iron Flame.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. Now, I will tell you, you know, Annie has not bribed me or put anything in my ear before this, but I can tell she already is cheering against
Iron Flame. I just think when a book and its sequel are pitted against each other, the original should be forward.
Yep.
Because the sequel can't exist without the first book. And then in this case, what I have heard, even from Fourth Wing fans, what I heard even from like Keela and Kendall, who pressed on and read Iron Flame, is that Iron Flame was a bit of a disappointment.
Oh, interesting.
It perhaps did not live up to the hype and the expectations set by its predecessor.
Yeah.
And I don't know how often that happens in March Madness. Maybe like a team that shows up that was excellent last year and they think they should be pitted or seated higher, but they're not. That's kind of the vibe Iron Flame
gives. You know what this is kind of like? It's kind of like Fourth Wing is like Alabama and Iron Flame is like UAB. University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like the spinoff. Yeah. So, you know, a couple of things I'll have to mention here. Let me tell you how I see these teams coming out onto the court. Fourth wing is controversial for the reasons we talked about. So you got players coming out with tattoos and different colors hair. You remember Dennis Rodman? I think about college Dennis Rodman coming out and he's got that kind of look on his face like, yeah, watch this. And everybody's kind of, you either love him or you hate him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's
that's
all
true.
But you know what? He's good at rebounding. He's Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
And then Iron Flame comes out. And, you know, one of the first things I saw on the internet that was like, the catchphrase for Iron Flame was, quote, burn it all down.
Oh.
And see, that's a turnoff to me. I don't want to burn it all down. I want to improve, you know?
Yeah,
you're not a
burn it all down kind of guy.
Improvements. Let's repair the house, not burn it down. And, you know, like you said, it's the sequel, right? It's like, you wouldn't be here if not for me, son. It's like a father talking to the son. You wouldn't even be here if not for
that's
me.
Aggressive.
The other thing I saw that I thought was interesting was someone was talking about Iron Flame and talking about how it was a romanticy.
Oh, yes. That's a very...
Isn't that interesting?
Well, it's a very popular new genre. Not new genre.
Yeah.
But I will say for the bookshelf, that is not typically a genre that has done well for us.
Right.
Locally, that's not what a lot of our locals read. But but this year, we saw a huge uptick. Olivia could get you the stats. We saw a huge uptick in romance and a huge uptick in fantasy. We think partly that's TikTok. That's the rise of TikTok or Bookstagram. But it's also, I hope it's partly because of some refinagling we did in the store where we now have a romance section. We now have a fantasy section. Those were mixed in with fiction for a long time. So we've pulled those sections out. Esme and Olivia worked together on that. And so anyway, we certainly have seen an uptick, and then you combine romance and fantasy novels and you get Fourth Wing, you get these books, the Sarah J. Maas series that she writes. Like, we are doing really well with that genre. So again, it's not necessarily a new genre, but for us, it is something that has become really popular.
Well, so I was reading something that was talking about, okay, this is a romanticy, and you know, so that genre mainly appeals to women. But then there was a note and it said, but this book also appeals to men because they put dragons in it. And I was like, wow, that's all that men need, like dragons. And all of a sudden, oh, men are going for it. So all that stuff causes me to pick Fourth Wing.
Okay.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
He's going to get out there and play his heart out. And you may hate him. He may go and, you know, have a, you know, bad night. He might not show up for practice, but when it's time to play, he's going to be out there. Fourth Wing advances, double digit win.
Agreed.
Double digit win.
Okay.
Iron Flame just thinks, well, shoot, we got to go back to UAB and pick up the pieces. And, you know, that's okay. We're UAB. We're not UA.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That totally makes sense to me. That makes sense. I'm here for that. Okay. So the next matchup, I think will be equally debated, which is Tom Lake. This is the new novel by Ann Patchett, and Saturday Night at the Lakeside Supper Club, which is by J. Ryan Stradell. Can I take a guess as to why Olivia pitted these against each other?
Yeah, I wonder if it's my guess, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so my guess is, first of all, these are two authors who are relatively prolific.
Right.
Ann Patchett, perhaps more so, but honestly, J. Ryan Stradell, he's been putting out books. Kitchens of the Great Midwest was his first book, one of my favorites. Logger Queen of Minnesota. So he has done quite well for himself as well. Also, both of these books have a strong Midwestern setting, Midwestern vibe.
It is the Midwest part of the bracket.
Yeah, we're at the... Yes, that's exactly right. So I think this matchup makes a lot of sense. There's also some family drama here. These are both what I would call quiet novels, character-driven novels. This pairing made a lot of sense to me. Now, I don't like it because it's two books I love very much, but it makes sense. So Tom Lake versus Saturday Night at the Lakeside Supper Club. Who you got and why?
Well, first of all, I thought that the reason she put these together is because the word lake...
Oh,
that,
okay.
That's my best guess.
Okay, sure. Well, you know what? Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Olivia knows.
Olivia.
Olivia, I really thought you put a lot of thought into this, so that was my...
I did too, but the word lake stands out. You know, it's like in bold. Well, I have to say that I feel like Tom Lake is kind of, you know, the team that's coached by the person who's done a lot, right? Ann Patchett. This is like the Duke or the Michigan State, because you got Tom Izzo or Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
This is the person who you're like, oh, she can roll out a book. It could be blank, But we're all going to come ooh and ah about it because we actually know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
We don't even have to worry about it.
She is the Mike Krzyzewski.
She's Mike Krzyzewski or the Tom Izzo. You know, it doesn't matter if she's had an off year. It doesn't matter if she's had a few off years. When it comes tournament time, she's going to have her team prepared. That team is Tom Lake.
Okay.
And we actually went and saw her.
That's right.
At the Mississippi
Book Festival. Yep, that's right.
And
Heard about this book.
So I heard about this book. So
though you have not read it,
we don't know that. we don't know how what goes on inside Jordan Jones's brain. So we're gonna advance Tom Lake. It's a closer matchup than we thought.
Okay.
But it's like one on the final possession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tied and Saturday night at Lakeside Supper thinks, oh, we're in the game, we're competing. And then Tom Izzo draws up a diagram, calls a timeout, inbounds, calls up a play, and it's run to perfection. And with 1 second left, the ball goes in. And, you know, Saturday night, on a Saturday night, the lights go out on Saturday night, and it's not even able to inbound the ball. It's over.
Okay.
It's a 2-point win.
I think that is correct, and I actually think that's a really accurate depiction of what could happen with those two books pit against each other. Next up, still in the Midwest region, I think, question mark, or no?
We're going to the Northeast.
Yeah. Well, much like the regular bracket, it makes no sense at all, because Hello Beautiful is set in Chicago. This is by Anne Napolitano. It's about the Padovano family. It's a bit of a... I mean, I hesitated always to use this description, but it's kind of sort of a reimagining, retelling of Little Women. And then it is pitted against Pineapple Street by Jenny Jackson. This is a rich people behaving badly type of book, a dysfunctional family drama about a wealthy family living in New York. I read both of these books, really liked them for different reasons. These are both family stories. They do, I also think, have kind of similar covers. You commented how the fonts looked a little similar. I don't know if that's Olivia's reasoning, but there they are. Those are the two.
Yeah. Pineapple Street is one of these blue blood teams, okay? Because it's about rich people. It's about trust funds. It's about siblings. So it's a blue blood team. We're talking about like the Kentucky or the Duke or the North Carolina. It's one of those teams, one of these wealthy teams that people complain, oh, they bought their team, all these rich kids playing, and all this kind of thing. And Hello Beautiful is a slower paced playing team. It's a slower paced book.
Hmm.
So it's more of like a Houston or a Baylor or 10 years ago, it would have been Wisconsin. Very slow place, very slow possession team. And this is always an interesting matchup. What happens when a down to earth, slow pace team, raised on cornbread and wheat or whatever, goes up against the blue blood? And turns out sometimes the blue bloods aren't tough.
Okay.
Right? And so Hello Beautiful is going to advance. Now, I also want to say something about Hello Beautiful. There are some basketball scenes in this book.
There are. It is a book about basketball.
It's a book about basketball.
It's so good.
So this team is going to actually advance, and Pineapple Street's going home early, and there's going to be some hurt feelings.
Mm.
Some
crying.
There's going to be some crying, and you're going to look at these kids that are crying, and you're going to say, why are you crying? You're a trust fund kid. elitist kids, whatever.
Sorry.
So this is what's going to happen. Hello Beautiful is going to advance.
Okay. I support that. I loved Hello Beautiful. And as we were talking, I did remember it's actually a basketball book. I remember being delighted by that. I read it last March, and it was so fun to read it around this time of year. If you haven't read it, now would be a great time. Okay, very curious to see what you're going to do here.
Yeah.
So the next matchup is Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus versus Nora Goes Off Script by Annabelle Monahan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've met Annabelle Monahan. You've heard me talk about Nora Goes Off Script, I think, a lot. I read it a lot, especially when it first released a couple years ago. Something to note about both of these books, and maybe why they're pitted against each other, is these are now kind of sort of considered backlist titles. Mm-hmm. They've been out a couple of years, so these weren't newly released in 2023. These were books that released a couple of years ago, but they have maintained popularity, continue to be bestsellers for us. Lessons in Chemistry also saw a bump because of the television show starring starring Brie Larson.
Yep.
These are popular with book clubs, strong female protagonists. You've got Elizabeth Zott in Lessons in Chemistry, and you've got Nora in Nora Goes Off Script. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I feel like that this matchup here is, you know, kind of like two very closely matched teams.
Yeah.
I feel like this is our first game that's going to be going into overtime.
Oh, and this one, if I were a fan, this one would hurt. Like, both of these teams.
You're going to look at the bracket, and you know who you're going to be mad at? Olivia.
Yeah.
The selection committee. You're going to say,
yeah,
but wait a minute. I would rather both of them meet later.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what Olivia is going to say? Nothing. Because the committee doesn't talk back. It is done. It's on paper. The committee puts out a piece of paper. It's like a black box. We don't know what goes on inside, you know, the head of the committee. No one can know. So I'm actually going to give Lessons in Chemistry the edge.
Okay.
And here's why.
Okay.
The TV series was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I thought it was such a good story. And there were so many little nuances to it. You and I talked about how a lot of that stuff was true to the book.
Yes.
And
it's a great adaptation. Like, I think the liberties that were taken wisely.
Yeah.
And, to the point where I, who loved the book, loved the show.
Yeah.
And you, who knew I liked the book, but you had not read it, you also really loved the show. Like, it was something I thought I would watch by myself. And instead we wound up watching it together. And the story is deeply, it's actually quite moving. I'll also say this about Lessons in Chemistry, and I've said it from the very beginning, but I did just recently see that Bonnie Garmus herself agrees. That book cover was terrible. And part of the reason here's what I'll say. That book cover is not terrible, but that book cover is misleading. That book cover makes it look like a light, frothy, fun book. And when I am hand selling this at the store and when I sold it, especially when it very first came out, I really had to tell customers. Like, I remember distinctly selling this book to a customer and she was like, oh, I was not going to pick that out because of the cover. And I explained it to her. She took it home. She read it. She came back and bought two copies, one for her mom and one for her sister. Like, because it holds a lot of depth and the cover kind of makes it look a little more light. And it's really not that light of a book.
And that is a deep observation that I think could even apply to people, right? Now we're going to start talking about personalities.
You just never know.
Yeah.
Okay. So
judge a book by its cover.
So Lessons in Chemistry.
Lessons
moves
in Chemistry
forward.
Advances.
But it's a close call.
It's overtime.
Okay.
It's an overtime game. And a lot of people are sad about this.
I am sad that those two were pitted against each other because those are two books I really, really love.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
And we shed tears and we blame Olivia and we shake our fists at the stars. And at the end of the day, Lessons in Chemistry advances after overtime.
Okay.
Lives to fight another day.
Okay, next we move to the Southeast region.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Southeast region, the first matchup, this is ironic, is Kinfolk. This is the novel set in 1970s Alabama by Sean Dietrich, Shaun of the South, versus The Peach Seed by Anita Gail Jones. Anita Gail Jones is, we kind of claim her as a local author. Mm-hmm. She's from Albany, Georgia. This book is partly set in Albany and in South Carolina. It's also historical fiction. Anita has been a delightful friend of the store. She came by, I don't know, about a year ago, saw that her book was carried in our shop, and now we've done a couple of events with her, which has been
fantastic.
Really fun. So, yeah.
So both people that have done events with the bookstore.
Yes.
Serious events.
Both Southern historical fiction novels, both authors who have ties to the bookshelf, authors who I also will say completely real deals, like really kind authors who I think appreciate the bookshelf, are grateful for what the bookshelf does, and have chosen to partner with us even out of our typical events. So for example, earlier this year, we got to do an event with Sean Dietrich out in Cairo, and like Olivia and Caroline went and sold books at it. And Olivia has also gone to Albany to sell books on behalf of Anita Gail Jones. So these are authors who have called us up and been really kind in offering us other opportunities. So it makes sense why these are pitted against each other.
And as a proud product of the Southeast, I appreciate when you see, you know, authors of Southern books being the real deal.
Yes.
That's fun.
It's a relief.
That's fun to see. One of the things that stands out to me is the book, The Peach Seed, has the word seed in it.
Okay, yes.
Which is a very important March Madness term.
Okay. Does that, is that going to make it?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I do think this is probably a Georgia team versus an Alabama team.
Oh, I'd agree.
Of some kind. So, yeah. So this might be...
which this will be interesting to test your own loyalties. Because you live in Georgia, but you have deep Alabama roots.
Yes, absolutely. And so those are kind of, you know, balance the scales.
Okay.
Let me tell you what tips the scales.
Mm.
Okay. Sean Dietrich and I share clothes.
Wow.
Okay. There's only one author on this bracket that I can say has worn clothes of mine. Okay. Sean Dietrich needed a jacket, needed a sports coat to look
just for a
super
picture,
professional for a picture. And I said, here, take mine, because that's how Alabamians are. We give each other clothes.
You very
all
much
all
have the same
back.
Vibes.
And I said, here you go. And he didn't even wince. He didn't
he
miss
didn't
a
blink.
Step. He said, thank you. He put it on. He took a picture and he looked dashing. One of the best pictures of him I've ever seen. And you'll know when you see it. It's a tweedish looking jacket. He
it's
looks like a million bucks. It's very professorial. And truly, what a great guy.
Yeah,
so we love both these authors, but that because
but
we share
Anita
clothes.
Has never
well,
shared clothes.
And we could. We still could. Anita, I mean, I've got some stuff you can wear and you could give me some stuff. So anyway, but I'm going to have to go with Sean Dietrich because we have shared clothes.
You have a bond.
We have a bond.
Okay. So Kinfolk by Sean Dietrich moves forward. I'll also say The Peach Seed is Anita Gail Jones' debut novel. And I think she'll be an author we could see on this bracket in future with other. Their works.
Yep.
So Sean at this point has written several books. He's kind of a man we're very familiar with
he's
at this
the
point.
He's experienced team
that's
that
right.
has come back a few years and
right. And it feels like the peach seed is the rookie.
We'll see. We'll see this sprout into a peach plant and it'll be back.
Okay. Yeah. Now, here is a pairing that this is now the pairing which I have to confess. So this is Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver, a retelling, reimagining of the classic novel David Copperfield. All of a sudden, Copperfield did not sound right in my head, but that is correct. Versus Covenant of Water by Abraham Verghese. Now, you and I are in the same boat here because I've not read these books either.
And are you sure that I haven't?
I am 100% sure you have not.
You're correct. But I'm excited about this one. And well, first of all, is there anything else you want to do to tee this up? Because I have an interesting comment about this one.
Well, I do think Olivia pitted these against each other because they are tomes. These are big old books that we sell a lot of copies of. Covenant of Water last year was an Oprah Book Club selection. So was Hello Beautiful. But Covenant of Water is one of those books that I'm not sure a customer would naturally pick up, except for the Oprah endorsement. And Abraham Verghese is an author customers really love. And then Barbara Kingsolver, same thing. An author people really love, are familiar with.
Yes.
She and I have read other Barbara Kingsolver books. And this one, I'm looking at it. It's on my shelf. I am going to read it. Mm-hmm. Nobody panic, but I have not read it yet. So I think because these are two tomes by two well-known, beloved authors, Olivia seeded them in the same game.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, first of all, I think that Demon Copperfield being about...
Demon Copperhead.
Yeah, Copperhead. I wrote it down wrong, Demon Copperhead. I think being about Appalachia is... I think this is the West Virginia team.
Okay.
And Bob Huggins is the West Virginia head coach.
Hmm.
And a few years back, our friend Will, we were watching March Madness.
In a group.
Yeah. And Will got frustrated. I think he had maybe West Virginia losing, but West Virginia ended up winning. And so he went on Wikipedia, onto Bob Huggins' website, and changed Bob Huggins' salary to $1 a year. You know, it said what he made, and he changed it to $1 a year, and just kind of as a joke and kind of a silly thing. And we got back on there the next day, and it still said that. No one had corrected
it. Just a terrifying reminder of Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, you know, as Michael Scott says, anyone can write anything about anyone, so you know it's true. Wikipedia is one of the most American things I can think of. But anyway, that's the West Virginia team, kind of fast-paced. Now, let me tell you something. Covenant of Water, I have not read this, but I have looked at this.
Okay.
And I think this is fascinating. Dr. Verghese is, he advocates, my understanding is he advocates for better medicine, more intimate conversations with patients, and more kind of the way that the old way. And my understanding of the Covenant of Water is it's a book about families in India, and someone drowns every generation.
Oh, and you know more than I do.
And I will tell you this, it didn't take much, but I'm kind of hooked. And of all the books on here, I think this is the one I'm most likely to read.
Oh, okay. It looks That's exciting.
Fascinating. Also, I love the word covenant. I enter into covenants all the time.
Little insight into Jordan's brain.
I love the word covenant. It's so much better than the word contract or agreement, because it implies something sacred. So anyway, Covenant of Water, I'm going to give the nod to that one.
Okay. That's okay. I think that might be an upset. I think.
Oh, interesting. The so 512?
Yeah. I think that might be an upset. So if you did receive a bracket, you may have, and I've already started to see them on Instagram. I told you this. People have been filling them out, guessing what you would choose.
As we do with March Madness.
That's right. Yeah. And so I think there might be people yelling into their radios.
Yeah. And I hope you are. I hope some people are.
I do hope people care that much. That's right.
That's March Madness. Yell. Get it out. Get it out. And then you know what? Turn your TV on. Watch Kinfolk play Covenant of Water, and you can whine about how it should have been Demon Copperhead, but gone.
This is fun. So Demon Copperhead, my dad loved that book.
Okay.
And then Nina read Covenant of Water.
Oh,
so
excellent.
Yeah, some family picks. Yeah. Okay, so next up, this will be interesting to hear you debate, Happy Place by Emily Henry. Emily Henry, Happy Place by Emily Henry versus Same Time Next Summer by Annabelle Monaghan. Annabelle Monaghan somehow on here twice. So I don't know. Good for Annabelle Monaghan. Like, I don't know what we would compare that to. Maybe it's two teams from the same state.
It's two teams from the same coaching tree.
Okay.
So it's like in college football, it would be like Alabama and Georgia, because Kirby Smart is from Nick Saban's coaching tree.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
same philosophies.
That's what's happening here, where we've got two rom-coms represented by Annabelle Monaghan. Happy Place by Emily Henry. Emily Henry, like Annabelle Monaghan, puts out a new rom-com every year. I'll say this about Emily Henry. I think her first book came out in 2020. It was one of those books during the pandemic that Olivia and I packaged so many copies of Beach Read, because Emily, my understanding is she directed people to buy from indie bookstores. And so that was huge for us during the pandemic, and really a game changer for us in the pandemic. And we have continued to sell a lot of copies locally and long distance of Emily Henry's new book. So she's got a new book coming out like in a month, or less than a month. So anyway, she kind of faithfully puts out a new rom-com every year, and I've read them all. And the same is true of Annabelle Monaghan. She has a new book coming out in June. I've already read it. It's 5 stars. It's excellent. But this was her second book, Same Time Next Summer. So
you really get ahead of the game on your reading. I mean, you're reading stuff that's not going to come out for like another decade.
Perk of the job. Well, next decade, I don't know. But
it's amazing. This is one of the coolest things.
That is the coolest thing.
Yeah. Well, okay. So a couple of things. Happy Place has a character, has a male character named Wyndham. Okay. And I saw a note online of a woman that said, I have literally never known a man named Wyndham.
Why are you and your family emphasize,
Wyndham.
Yes, you guys emphasize H's more than anybody I've ever met. Please stop.
Yeah. Okay. So
Wyndham, I think. I don't think we.
I know. I know it's Wyndham, but it just, I just feel like I have to emphasize it because that's how it's written. So the other thing is, it was interesting about this is I saw a trigger warning online that said, watch out because this book has themes about losing a parent, grief, anxiety, recreational drugs, alcohol use. And I thought, okay, so like real life. So I was like, okay, so it's a book about life. Or at least observing other people's lives.
you and I do have similar feelings, I think, regarding sensitive.
Okay. And then I was looking at Same Time Next Summer online, and my first thought was, okay, so is this Sweet Home Alabama? Is this like a similar thing to Reese Witherspoon coming home and like falling in love?
You know, so, I did not think about that, but kind of, like, yes.
Oh, interesting. So I will say I'm going to go with Annabelle Monaghan on this one.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to give her the nod on this one. I'm going to go ahead and advance same time next summer. I do think this is a good pairing by Olivia.
Totally.
So a lot of times the neutral arbiters in our lives, whose jobs it is to be objective, the referees, the officials, the umpires, the judges, the committees, get a bad reputation, get bad rap, because half the people always get mad at them. Because, right, half of us lose and half of us win. And I just want to say thank you for the work that you do. If you're a black and white striped person, if you wear the black and white, you do something objective, thank you so much. No one ever praises you. Everybody either thinks...
I hope we praise Olivia.
I do. I'm doing it right now. And you do too. But, you know, you wear the black and white stripes, you wear the black robe. That is a hard, thankless job. And, you know, typically if we win in life, we think we earned it. And if we lose, we think we were robbed. And so the judge never gets credit. Thank you for being objective and calling balls and strikes. Olivia, and all of you who wear black robes and black and white stripes. I don't care on what level it is. It could be refereeing flag football. Thank you.
I hope that speech really makes her day.
Yeah.
Okay. Last pairing in the South region. This is I Have Some Questions for You by Rebecca Mackay. I'm trying to think if you heard Rebecca Mackay at the Mississippi Book Festival with me. Mm. But anyway, she spoke at the Mississippi Book Festival. I have some thoughts, but that's something for another time. And then Faking Christmas by Carrie Winfrey. Now, of all the pairings, this is the one that makes no sense to me. And I have racked my brain to try to figure out how Olivia did this. And my best conclusion is that these were the two books that were left.
These are the Misfits. Island of Misfit Toys?
Yes. I normally feel like I can follow Olivia's train of thought. We work really well together. But this pairing, now the covers are both red, white, and blue. Like there's definitely some color themes, but these subject matters are totally different.
I agree.
The genre is totally different. The page length is totally different. So I have racked my brain and I just think these are the Misfits.
Yeah, this is the 7-10 matchup. Do yourself a favor. Turn on a 7 seed against a 10 seed and you'll wonder, why are these teams here? You know, why do they matter? They're different. It's bizarre. So this is the 7-10 matchup. I Have Questions is about a New Hampshire boarding school and murders. And so
all things I'm 100% here for.
You're all in on that.
Loved it.
This is the Cornell or the Yale. Okay. This is the Ivy League team. You'll see.
Yes. Rebecca Mackay has those vibes as well.
Yes. You'll see an Ivy League. The way that the Ivy League does things is weird, but you'll see an Ivy League team get into the NCAA tournament. This year it's Yale. Yale just won on a buzzer beater.
Let me tell you, over Brown. Can I tell one of my favorite marital memories of all time? I don't remember a ton of details, but what I do remember is I had chosen Yale to advance and you had not.
Yeah.
And Yale won and you were not here yet. You were not home yet. You were at work or something. And because of Gilmore Girls, I knew the Yale fight song. thank goodness for Grandpa. Can't remember his name. Richard. Yeah. Thank goodness for Richard Gilmore. I knew the Yale fight song. And so when you came home, I just greeted you at the door singing the Yale fight song.
Yes.
And honestly, just brings a smile to my face every time.
That's what March Madness is all about. Now, for that one time, I have a marital memory, and that is the other 9 times we've done March Madness and Annie has picked a 14 seed Ivy League, they've lost. And I've rejoiced.
Wow, shots fired. I just always am trying to pick an upset and I always pick the wrong ones.
Me too. It's a problem. It's a problem with March Madness. But this is the Yale.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
And Yale's in this year.
Okay.
Yale just won on a buzzer beater over Brown, which never gets in.
Okay.
But buzzer beater, go watch it. Do yourself a favor, buzzer beater. And this is the Yale. This is the Ivy League team that always is like kind of active and energetic and fun to watch. You're like, that's fun to see an Ivy League team on there.
Though I would not describe that that book was good to me. I think it was solid 4 stars for me. I would not describe it as fun, as I recall.
Okay.
Now, I love a boarding school setting. I love a murder mystery. There was a podcast element.
You love the Northeast.
Love the Northeast. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not sure I'd describe that book as fun. What I would describe as fun is Faking Christmas.
Ooh.
It was...
How so?
Well... So you will be familiar with Christmas in Connecticut. It's a movie we have watched
great
many
movie.
Times.
Okay, highly recommend.
So this is a retelling of Christmas in Connecticut. It's like, or it's a modern, Carrie Winfrey, the author, who you've also met, I think. You've met some of these authors. Carrie Winfrey came to read a retreat.
I think I'm moving into some elite circles.
Yeah, I guess you are. Okay. So Carrie Winfrey was at the bookshelf and... she loves Christmas in Connecticut. And while she was watching it one Christmas, she was like, how come nobody has modernized this? And so she did, which is a really fun writer story. And I really like knowing that a writer could just be watching like an old black and white movie and then all of a sudden be like, hey, why has nobody written this yet? Guess I will. Like, it's just very, I just love that story. So anyway, it's a very fun Christmas book. It's one of those that I might reread year after year.
Well, that's high praise.
Yeah,
because
I don't reread
a lot of things, and you don't reread a lot.
No, and Christmas books can be cheesy. Like we sometimes will joke watch Hallmark movies together, but that is not my favorite.
Merry Christmas, yes. the magical elevator.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. When I first saw this, I thought, okay, if nothing else, I can fall back on the fact that. I have some questions for you. Sounds like the mantra of your life. You always have had questions, right?
And it's true.
Faking Christmas would be the opposite of your life. You would never fake Christmas. Why would you do such a thing? Christmas is sacred. Christmas
so you took
is wonderful.
This one real personally.
Yeah, I was like, but you know what? Christmas in Connecticut retelling. Boom, baby.
Oh.
Boom, baby.
Okay. Okay.
Faking Christmas advances.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Exciting.
Okay.
Exciting.
Faking Christmas.
Okay, Faking Christmas. I think that's going to be a slight upset on people's brackets as well. Okay. Now we're moving forward. We have our 8. So it's time to select
We're down to the Elite 8.
We're down to the Elite 8. Yeah. It's time to move to our final 4.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got Fourth Wing.
Yeah.
Heaven help us, versus Tom Lake.
Yeah. I think what happens here is that the Fourth Wing comes off.
That is,
the plane.
Yes.
and we're down to no wing.
Yeah.
Tom Lake is going to advance.
That is accurate. I do think that's exactly what happens, right? It's the fun, exciting team, but now they're done.
Yeah, that's a 20-point blowout right there.
Okay, I would agree.
That's a 20-point.
I think that's what happened in real life. Like, I think Fourth Wing was amazing and took off, and then...
ran out of gas.
Yes, mid-air. Ran out of steam. Yeah, totally. Okay, then... Now, this will be interesting, because I think there's some overlap between these. There is Hello, Beautiful... by Anne Napolitano versus Lessons in Chemistry.
Yeah.
Now, so what are you going to do?
You notice sometimes the teams that are most successful in the tournament have an overtime win early. This happened a few years ago, I believe, with Villanova when Villanova won it all. But you have a little bit of grit in that first, second, third round, scrappy win, and then you start to hit your stride. That's what happens here to Lessons in Chemistry. It was an overtime gritty win against Nora Goes Off Script. And now it advances by double digits.
Oh.
It starts to pick up some steam.
Okay.
It learns lessons, if you will. And the chemistry among the players really, really gets to where it needs to be.
Okay.
So it actually gets into the final 4 and people start believing in this team.
Okay. Ooh, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be very interesting because if a book that was not even published in 2023 becomes... the best book of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a new school.
Now we have Kinfolk, the Sean Dietrich book.
Yeah.
Can the Jacket Anecdote carry it past
Good question.
Covenant of Water?
Good question.
The book that you are most enticed by on this entire list.
Well, I am most enticed by Covenant of Water in terms of books, but I'm most enticed by Sean Dietrich, the man, the myth, the legend.
Man, you know what?
The jacket.
You know what? People didn't know the jacket anecdote, and that's going to really hurt their brackets. I think it's really going to hurt.
You know what? This is what happens when You ever had that year where you fill out your March Madness bracket and you're really excited about a team and you turn on the TV, you know, it's a team you picked to go to the Final Four, and the team looks terrible. Ooh, and you start questioning your sanity and your own competence. And you say, why did I pick that team? And then your husband or your wife leans over and says, didn't you know they had two injuries? Mm. And you realize you didn't do your research.
Uh-oh.
You didn't know the anecdote of the coat. You didn't know it. And if you had, you would never have done that. That's what happens here. The wheels come off and Kinfolk actually advances
okay.
to the Final Four.
All right. Okay. And then now, I think in a matchup we really could not have predicted, now we have same time next summer versus Faking Christmas. Mm-hmm. So now we have two pretty seasonal rom-coms.
Yep.
Are you going summer or Christmas?
What's better, summer or Christmas?
I know to you, I think Faking Christmas advances.
It could.
So I love Christmas, but we're also, Christmas is our busiest, most hectic time of year.
Yep.
Summer is most of the time our most relaxed time of year. It's when you and I get to go on vacation.
Yep.
I might get to go to the beach. Yep. I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yeah, I think for you, same time next summer would be the pick here. This is a tough one.
It is tough. And I don't think I could have predicted it. I think you thought, I have some questions for you, was going to advance.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Christmas in Connecticut, some of these other Turner Classic movies, on that history alone, Faking Christmas just gets an edge and advances to the Final Four.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I think we have some unusual selections now for the Final Four.
Yeah. This is like the 2014 March Madness tournament when you end up with a 7 and an 8.
Yeah.
Seed.
Yeah.
And that was the year that billionaire, I'm drawing a blank on his name, he offered $1 billion to anyone who could correctly fill out a bracket perfectly, and no one did, partly because the 8 and the 7.
Okay, well, I think that's what's happened here. So our Final Four, I'm just going to name them, Tom Late by Ann Patchett, Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus, Kinfolk by Sean Dietrich, and Faking Christmas by Carrie Winfrey.
All right.
That is eclectic.
I think we have a strange Final Four.
We do.
And all these teams are excited. That all the one seeds have already been knocked out.
Yes, it feels, well, okay.
It's chaotic.
It feels like that, except I will say Tom Late feels like a one seed. If we go back to the Tom Izzo, if we go back to Mike Krzyzewski, like Tom Late feels like the one remaining one seed.
This is what happened in our office chicken bracket, which were seeded impeccably by me. And one of the Final Four teams was, and this was blind, but blind taste test, but one of the Final Four teams was Chick-fil-A, which is the one seed. Whether you think it's the best or not, it is the one seed.
Right.
You know, one seed can be defeated. So we've got that here. We've got Tom Late here. So what I want to hear your thoughts about the first matchup of the day, which is Tom Late versus Lessons in Chemistry. What does that look like on the court?
Okay, well, for me, I keep going back to Tom Late's coaching.
Yeah.
Lessons in Chemistry is a debut novel.
Yeah.
So it's a team that hasn't really appeared here before.
Yeah, this is like George Mason or...
Right. Oh, Loyola or...
Sister Jean. Loyola Chicago. Yeah.
Like somebody who...
This is an 11 seed.
Somebody who's having a great time.
Yeah.
And we were all shocked when they won the first round. We were all shocked and elated when they won the second round. And like we were cheering them on. And now they've made it to the Final Four.
What an accomplishment.
Right.
They'll hang a banner. They'll hang a Final Four banner.
And we can't believe it. And we're cheering from our living rooms, but they don't have enough gas.
Yeah.
Like they just, I feel like Tom Late, the coaching of Mike Krzyzewski, like I just think Tom Late is the winner.
Yeah. Tom Late gets to the Final Four and thinks, we got two more games. There's work yet to be done. Lessons in Chemistry gets to the Final Four and says, oh, this is great.
Yeah,
well, we're just so happy to be here.
Yeah.
And they lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Late into the Final Two.
Okay.
As a one seed.
Yeah. That feels right.
What do you think about, now this is
bizarre.
This is the out of the Southeast and the South region.
Yeah, this is weird.
And you know what? A lot of odd people come out of the Southeast and the South. So what, I mean, and look, kinfolk.
Here we are.
Kinfolk are weird, right? Okay, so kinfolk versus Faking Christmas. What do you think?
Gosh.
What does this look like?
Okay, well, this is very tough to me because Faking Christmas feels like a surprise team because it almost feels like, now I'm not going to say it's like a Loyola or a George Mason, but it
like
does feel like, you know, it is shocking to me that on, first of all, that on the 2023 top 16 that there was a Christmas book at all. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, yep. like for a Christmas yep. book to be a bestseller for the whole year, like not just at Christmas, right. that's pretty remarkable. Yeah. Like just from a,
even to get on the bracket,
right. right? Yeah. From a book selling yeah. perspective, yeah. it's a little bit like, how did this Christmas book get here?
Because it's faking Christmas. It's not it's actually not really Christmas. It's just,
well, and I
it's
think
Christmas it, with quotation marks.
I think it goes back to the authors we've talked about today, like Sean Dietrich, Anita Gail Jones, Annabelle Monaghan. Several of our authors this year have been to the bookshelf. And so they've been here in person. Right. And so because of reader retreat or because of store events or whatever, some of these teams, some of these books progressed even farther than I could have predicted. Mm. I love Faking Christmas. It was a super fun holiday book. I waited, like I got my ARC and I waited to read it until November because I just wanted to read something right. fun and seasonally appropriate. So I clung to it. I held on to it. But it is a surprise to me that it's here because it is a seasonal work. Mm-hmm. Now, Kinfolk does make a lot of sense in that it is beloved by long distance and local customers alike. So of the books on this list, Kinfolk is probably one of the most locally beloved titles. Now, I think we sold a lot of copies of Tom Lake, a lot of copies of Fourth Wing to local customers. Yeah. Covenant of Water was a local bestseller, but Kinfolk and Sean Dietrich are beloved by Thomasville in particular, not just our long distance customers.
Does the fan base of Kinfolk travel well? Like, would they show up to root on Kinfolk in a matchup between Kinfolk and Faking Christmas?
I mean, I think they're proud. Yeah. I think it's like an Auburn team, yeah. like where they're really, or a Tennessee team yeah. or something like that, where they're really proud yeah. of how far they've come.
Yeah.
Because Southerners root for their own.
Yeah, that's true.
For better or for worse.
Is that enough to advance Kinfolk in the situation?
I don't know.
Is that enough?
I don't know. It's a weird matchup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they play against each other.
I'll tell you, it okay. is enough.
Okay.
Kinfolk won.
Okay.
And Kinfolk wins and advances to the final two.
Okay. Well, then I think, okay.
And everybody is shocked.
That Kinfolk
is in the final.
That it's in the final two?
Looking at all this side of the bracket.
You know, and you know who's, I think, the most proud?
Who?
The fans. Yeah, I think this is a team where the fans think we did this.
I agree.
We made it get this far.
And you know what? All those fans that are going to go to the championship game, you know what they're all wearing?
What?
Tweed jacket. That is the staple of the season. They even make the little tweed jacket insignia and all the players wear it.
It's like their bonding
thing for the year.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it enough to get over Tom Lake, though, in the final?
No.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. You agree with me this year.
Tom
Lake is the winner.
Is the champion.
You have to write it on the championship trophy.
And oftentimes, if you look at old brackets, a lot of times you do have craziness in the first round. You get a little craziness in the second round.
That's true.
And then you look up and it's like, wait a minute, a blue blood won.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute.
That's kind of always a bummer to me.
Hey, how did that team win? Because it's the best.
Well, and here's what I will also say. Last year, we had what we thought was potentially... Now, I don't think Crane Wife was blue blood. CJ Hauser is not as perhaps prolific or as a household of a name as Ann Patchett. Mm-hmm. But we did have that versus the Book Eaters. And then the debut novel, Beloved by Olivia,
yep.
that wound up winning. And I think that was an upset.
I agree.
I don't think... Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You know more about March Madness through the years and like maybe statistics and things like that. But I think after a year where there's been kind of a lot of upheaval yep. and surprises, it sometimes yep. feels like the next year
four number one
is less surprising. Yep. Yes. Yep. And so I think this is a less surprising win, although I do think the final four were a surprise.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of times that happens.
But
I mean, this is crazy. And then it's like, wait a minute. Oh, Kentucky won its
right.
75th national title again?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Tom Lake makes sense. Ann Patchett yeah. makes sense. It does feel like the natural winner.
Yeah. Tom Lake. Celebrates again.
Okay. So there we go. If you filled out a bracket, first of all, we'd love for you to post your bracket. We will post Jordan's bracket on the Bookshelf Instagram so that you can see. He filled it out while we were talking. But we'd love to know if you wound up matching Jordan's bracket, because we are so curious if somebody predicted the chaotic vibes
yep.
of Jordan Jones's March Madness selections.
And Warren Buffett did front $1 billion.
Okay, that's who you're trying to think of.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of, if you got a perfect bracket.
Man, if only that were true. Yeah. So... post your bracket to Instagram if you are so inclined. And then hopefully you know this by now, but if you don't, if you enjoy these annual episodes, I just have to tell you, we have some super fun news, which is that last April, this is how things work at the Bookshelf. Last April, after March Madness ended, it was Caroline's first March Madness ever, like basketball or books. She mentioned that we should do March Madness merch. So we wrote it on our spreadsheet. And then when January rolled around, we thought, okay, now's the time. We have to do some merch. So a year later, we launched sweatpants, t-shirts, stickers, and brackets inspired by the March Madness episodes. Jordan and I are wearing our March Madness shirts right now in honor of the episode. We also made Sister Jean shirts, which I said on Instagram was like one of the most niche things we've ever done. But the truth is we do a lot of niche
things. Everything you do is niche.
Yeah. Somebody reminded me about hot dogs. I think a customer and listener Dusty reminded me, well, what about hot dogs on Indie Bookstore Day? Then somebody else was like, well, what about that time y'all did Babysitter's Club merch? And so it's true. A lot of what the Bookshelf does is niche.
What about Sam Malone?
Right. On Sam Malone bandana. Yeah. But this is this does feel pretty niche because there isn't always a ton of overlap. Although I think there's more than we'd like to admit. I think there's more overlap between basketball fans and book lovers than the world wants us to think. Actually, I think a lot of us do like sports and books. It's okay. It's okay to like a lot of things. So we have some merch. Now I'll be honest. There's not a ton left, but there is some left. So we have Sister Jean shirts. I mailed Sister Jean a shirt. I really hope she got it. I hope those.
Me too.
I hope those team members at Loyola University opened the mail and were pleased. We have Sister Jean stickers. We have we have a March Madness sticker, March Madness shirts, and the Bookshelf sweatpants. I'm just gonna say are some of the most comfy sweatpants I've ever owned. It was very important to me that they be comfy and oversized, perfect for cuddling up and watching March Madness on your couch. Because to me, there's nothing more fun than reading a book while watching sports. Like the squeaky tennis shoes in the background of my reading is a joy of my life. So items have sold fast, but you can find what remains at the link in the show notes or visit bookshelfthomasville.com. And then you can find March Madness merch on the homepage. Thanks to Aaron. Thanks, Jordan.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
This week, What I Am Reading is brought to you by the 103rd Annual Rose Show and Festival here in Thomasville, Georgia. Held in historic downtown Thomasville, the Rose Show and Festival is sponsored by the City of Thomasville and has been a Southwest Georgia tradition since 1922. Enjoy rose and flower shows, live music, an artisan market, an antique car show, a parade, and fantastic shopping and dining in downtown Thomasville. This year's 103rd annual event is April 26th through 27th. You can plan your visit at thomasvillega.com. As I've been recording these ad reads, I've been trying to think about my favorite parts of the Rose Show weekend, and I've been working through different events. And so I would be remiss if I did not discuss the street dance that has held every year after the parade. So actually, one of my fondest Thomasville memories is a couple of years ago, I was a parade float judge for the first ever time. It was a highlight of my life. I think it's okay to say, but I write about it in my upcoming book.
You wore the black and white stripes.
I performed a judge role. It was very exciting. Jordan and I got to sit in the bandstand, the grandstand, and we got to watch the parade. We felt like we'd really made it here in Thomasville. It felt like a real big moment for us. But immediately following the parade, the streets are all closed because of the parade. And then I think the band is called the Swingin' Medallions. They are beloved by Thomasville. And it's like a swing dance out on the streets. And it is the most small town, fun, springtime happiness that you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And so my parents have come before a few years ago. It's just a delight. And one thing I love about living close to downtown is you can hear the music. Like we'll walk home from the parade. It's a really fun time of year to live here. So if you have never been to Rose Show and Festival, I would encourage you to come. Friday night is a blast because of the parade and because of the street dance. This week, I am reading They Can't Kill Us Until They Kill Us by Hanif Abdurraqib. Jordan, what are you reading?
I'm reading We're Already Dead. I'm just kidding.
wow, dark.
No, I'm reading The Hobbit by the man, the myth, the legend, J.R.R. Tolkien. For the first time in my life, I'm ashamed to say.
No, I think that's delightful. It's never too late.
Yeah.
Thank you again to our sponsor, the 103rd Annual Rose Show and Festival here in Thomasville, Georgia. Don't forget, you can plan your upcoming visit at thomasvillega.com. From the Front Porch is a weekly podcast production of The Bookshelf, an independent bookstore in Thomasville, Georgia. You can follow The Bookshelf's daily happenings on Instagram at BookshelfTville, and all the books from today's episode can be purchased online through our store website, bookshelfthomasville.com. A full transcript of today's podcast episode can be found at FromTheFrontPorchPodcast.com. Special thanks to Studio D Podcast Production for production of From the Front Porch and for our theme music, which sets the perfect warm and friendly tone for our Thursday conversations. Our executive producers of today's episode are Cami Tidwell, Linda Lee Drost, Martha, Stephanie Dean, Ashley Farrell, Jennifer Bannerton,
Nicole Marcy,
Wendy Jenkins,
Susan Mullings.
Thank you all for your support of From the Front Porch. If you'd like to support From the Front Porch, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your input helps us make the show even better and helps us reach new listeners. All you have to do is open up the podcast app on your phone, look for From the Front Porch, scroll down until you see Write a Review, and tell us what you think. Or if you're so inclined, support us over on Patreon, where we have three levels of support. Each level has an amazing number of benefits like bonus content, access to live events, discounts, and giveaways. Just go to patreon.com/from the front porch. We're so grateful for you, and we look forward to meeting back here next week.